Computer, Himanshu already did it. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'm glad it's a small class today. So we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam.
The title of the chapter is Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, and we'll be reading from chapter 2, verse 15.
So thank you all for coming. And I'll try to do my best. So. Let's see. Kechik kanitre bibidu setu prakar gopuran. Ajiv yamsh chichidur vikshan kecha parashu panayaha. Pradahan sharanani eke. AK, sorry. Prajanam jwalito mukatai. Forgive me. This is a little unordinary stanza, so I'm trying to make it as rhythmatic as possible. So I'll try to chant it one more time, then maybe one or two others could chant it. Keche kan. Nitre bibidu setu prakar gopuran. Ajivyam shchididur viksham kecha padushu panayaha. Pradahan sharanani eke. Rajanam dvalito mukaihi. I obviously don't know Sanskrit. Someone can chant it. May. Keche kantre bibidu seta prakar gopuran. Ajivyam shchichidur vikshan kecha padashu panayaha. Pradahan sharani eke. Prajana dravito mukai. That's enough. So we'll go to the word for word. Kechit with digging instruments. Bibidu, broke to pieces. Setu, bridges. Prakar, protect the walls. Gopuran, city gates. Ajivyan, the source of livelihood. Chichiduhu, cut down. Vritshan, trees. Ooh, Michael's here, sorry. Kechit, song. Parashu panayaha. Taking axes in hand. Pradahan, burn down. Sharanani, the dwellings. Eke, other demons. Prajanam, other citizens. Jvalita, blazing. Umukaihi, with firebrands. Translation proposed by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Some of the demons took digging instruments and broke down the bridges, the protective walls and the gates. Gopuras of the cities. Some took axes and began cutting the important trees that produce mango, jackfruit, and other sources of food. Some of the demons took firebrands and set fire to the residential quarters of the citizens. Purport. The cutting of trees is generally prohibited. In particular, trees that produce nice fruit for the maintenance of human society should not be cut. In different countries, there are different types of fruit trees. In India, the mango and jackfruit trees are prominent, and in other places, there are mango trees, jackfruit trees, coconut trees, and berry trees. Any tree that produces nice fruit for the maintenance of the people should not be cut at all. This is a Shastric injunction. So we'll be doing also text 16, so I'll just skip the Sanskrit and go directly to the translation purport. Translation. Thus disturbed again and again by the unnatural occurrences caused by the followers of Hiranyakashipu, all the people had to cease the activities of Vedic culture. Not receiving the results of Yajna, the demigods also became disturbed. They left their residential quarters in the heavenly planets and unobserved by the demons, began wandering on the planet Earth to see the disasters. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the performance of Yajna brings reciprocal good fortune for both the human beings and the demigods. When the performance of Yajna were stopped by the disturbance of the demons, the demigods were naturally bereft of the results of Yajna and hampered in executing their respective duties. Therefore, they came down to the planet Earth to see how people had become disturbed and to consider what to do. Amagyan tamanandasya gyananjana shalakaya shakshumulitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya mano bishtam stapitanya yena butsale swayam rupakada mayam dadati swapadantika vansha kalpaturubhya sha kripa sindubhya vacha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadaha shri vasari govardhanabinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'd like to ask for the blessings of all the Simu Vaishnavas, especially the senior ones, Jitendriya. So, anyways, the only reason I keep coming up here is that no matter how bad I think I do, you guys are always encouraging. But this will probably be my last time. Of course, I lied before, so I could probably lie again. But anyway, this is the third last time Michael said. Anyway, Lakshmi Moni Mataji, so if you guys, she should be here this week, so you definitely don't want to miss her series of classes, if I'm not aware. And then soon, Nityananda Prabhu is coming back. And then a few weeks after that, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, His Holiness Romapada Maharaj, and His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj will be here, the triple threat. And so it's going to be a lot of spiritual energy, so you guys don't want to miss that. That's probably why none of us will give class, you know. So we don't want to give class in front of the seniors and really embarrass ourselves, so, and make a lot of offenses. Not that we're not making them now, but they maximize if we make them in front of, you know, great souls like that. So anyway, so I'll just continue with the class. So so the basis of every class, obviously, that I do is, I'm guys sure you know which verse it is, of Lord Chaitanya's. But the reason is there's two verses that is explained in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. That's one or two of Bhaktisiddhanta's favorite ones. I mentioned it last time. So you guys, I would like for you guys to kind of reference these points. So I'll kind of reference them because they're very important verses. So you could look up yourself. So this is from Vaibhav, Volume 1, Chapter. It's the chapter is entitled Service to Shastra. And it's page 283. And so there's two verses that Bhaktisiddhanta is known for that is described that the model for his life. One is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Verse 13. Atapumbir Dvija Shrestha Varnashram Vibhagashah Swanutitasya Damaisa Samsi Dirhadi Toshana. So this verse essentially says that regardless of one's varna or ashram, whatever one does, it doesn't matter. The whole point is Samsi Dirhadi Toshana. Samsi Dir means perfection of one's life is to please Hari Toshanam. Toshanam means please, and Hari means the Lord. Hari means he who removes the obstacles to one's spiritual progress. So if we please the Lord, then, you know, he'll remove our obstacles. And the second verse that was appreciated by Bhaktisiddhanta was, of course, Lord Chaitanya's famous humility verse, Srinadapi Sunichena. And so these verses are kind of connected. Like, so if I have a question for you guys, so Samsidra Hari Toshanam, That means the professional one's life is to please the Lord. So what pleases the Lord, you know, in regards to this Lord Chaitanya's verse? To be humble, right? So this is what pleases the Lord. And that's why I appreciate another verse from Narada Bhakti Sutra. It's a very important verse. It's from Narada Bhakti Sutra 27, Sutra 27. Narada Muni says, the Lord dislikes the proud, but is pleased with the humble. So this is obviously the basis of every class I give. So I kind of want you guys to reference these points. So that's why I mentioned them. So they're very important verses. So if you guys could, you know, remember them. And so this brings to mind of another funny incident in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava that I came across accidentally. It's you guys can look it up. I'm telling the truth. So it's in Vaibhava Volume 2, the chapter entitled Disciple Interactions, and it's on page 266. So you guys can look it up. I'll add my little urban spin to it a little bit. So this incident describes how Bhaktisiddhanta humbled an educated man who came to his temple. Basically, so what happened was the situation was that this highly educated man came to the temple and he met Bhaktisiddhanta. And so he asked Bhaktisiddhanta, Maharaj, is there any service I can do? And so Bhaktisiddhanta essentially said, yes, you could clean up, you know, the floor and clean up after the devotees. So this is a true story. He said, this Prabhu responded by, Bhaktisiddhanta, I'm an MA. I can do more than that. I'm more qualified to do that. I don't know what an MA is, but I guess it means PhD. I think somebody said it means Masters of Arts or something. Is that what it means? So it's basically like PhD. So essentially, Bhaktisiddhanta said, he didn't say it this way, but essentially he said, you're not an MA, you're in M-A-Y-A, Maya, M-A-Y-A. So that's what it essentially says. So that's the duty of a spiritual master, to always humble us. Like in the Bible, Jesus says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And this is the duty of the spiritual master, to always humble us, because that's kind of the greatest obstacle to our spiritual progress is, you know, the pride. When we attain some sort of position, then we become proud, you know, and then, you know, so then they have to humble us. So this brings to mind of an example. When I first came to Krishna consciousness, I heard the word puffed up by Prabhupada. He used that so many times. I had no idea what that meant. I'm like, what does puffed up mean? And so I kind of came to a realization recently. There's a nice analogy in this regard. You guys know of a hot air balloon, right? Hot air balloon. Where you get like this tiny basket, and then they blow up a huge balloon with fire, and then it floats in that sky. So that's so this example is very kind of significant in this regard. So what is the hot air balloon? It's puffed up with fire, right? And then it ascends above everyone else, where it looks down on everyone else. And the duty of a sadhu is to kind of burst our bubble and bring us back to earth. So that's an example I kind of appreciate in this regard. So another example in this regard is that, of course, most people, why are you using this verse, emphasizing this point so much, this humility point? Well, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is also another important verse you guys can reference. It's from Adi Lila, chapter 17, verse 32. And the eight verses before then are very important also. This verse says, Orva bahu kari kohan shunna sarvalok namasute gansi padakanta e shalok. So this verse says essentially that one must continually remember Lord Chaitanya's verse of humility every day. Srinadapi Suni saying, just think about it. What do we do every day continuously? Let's say, brush our teeth. We take a bath. This is considered like, compared to the Maha Mantra, we brush our teeth, take a bath. But if you think about it, if you take a bath without soap, you may get some benefit, but you don't get the ultimate benefit. Or if you brush your teeth without toothpaste. Yeah, you guys remember. If you brush your teeth without toothpaste, you'll get some benefit, but not the ultimate benefit. So in much the same way, you know, when we chant Hare Krishna, you know, if we're not experiencing some enthusiasm or some taste, then chances are we're probably not being humble as a blade of grass. We're not respecting people or honoring people, at least in our minds. It's not possible to honor everyone, but at least mentally. And so basically there's a nice other verse in this regard. It's from Adi Lila, chapter 8, verse 16. It's also an important verse. It says, Bahu jama kare yadi shravanam kirtana tabutana paya krishna pade prima dan. It essentially says when one is infected with all the 10 offenses, then despite taking many births, one does not gain Krishna prema, even after chanting Hare Krishna. Isn't that scary? You don't get Krishna prema. You may get, you know, some benefit, obviously, that you'll keep taking birth as a human being, but you'll not get Krishna prema. Why? Because unless we free ourselves from these offenses, then we won't be satisfied. Krishna prema means one is satisfied. One is not bored all the time. That's the worst thing. Even if we don't get, you know, some like grave reaction, like some of the things that are described in the scriptures of offenses against Vaishnavas, is that the worst thing is to be bored. I remember Jordan Prabhu said, I mean, for me too, one of the worst things is not to know what to do with your life. You like wander around what to do. And that's one of the results of Vaishnava Parava. If we're not experiencing happiness in Krishna consciousness, you know, we should check our, you know, respect, our humility, and our honor. And so, and actually in this verse, Bahu Jama Kade Yadi Shravana Kirtana, in this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada actually quotes, what does he quote? Obviously, Lord Chaitanya's verse. He says, one must strictly follow Sri Nadapi Suni Chena Tador Iva Sahichinu. So this verse is very essential. So we always have to keep it in mind every day, because every day, you know, we're kind of, the pride and envy arises in us. I'm sure, you know, every day it comes up. And so we always have to keep reminding ourselves, be humble, be tolerant, you know. I'm struggling, they're also struggling, so I shouldn't necessarily retaliate. So does that make sense for you guys? All right, good. Oh, I got a response, thank God. Last week it was nothing. So you guys have been more merciful, I appreciate that. So I'll try to stick to the script. You know, usually I kind of like to go offhand and speak spontaneously, but I'll do my best to stick to the script, since I would like to kind of mention all these points here. So they're not so many points, but I kind of like to mention all of them. So in these series of verses in this chapter title, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, what is essentially being described, obviously, is that the activities of the demons are being described. So, of course, we shouldn't arrogantly think that's the activities of the demons. And this is me. I'm perfect. That self-righteous mentality doesn't please the Lord. In other words, it doesn't fall under the category of Samsidra Haditoshana. What pleases the Lord is Tate Anukampamsu Samichamano Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam Rit Vag Vapur Vir Vidadan Namaste Jiveta Yomuti Pade Sadaya Bhat. This is also a very important verse that Prabhupada quotes, you know, frequently to keep us humble. It's from the, can somebody look this up on their phone? Do you have anyone has a phone? So I don't want to butcher the verse, so you can kind of read it, and somebody give Manoj the mic or whoever. So it's from Canto 10, chapter 14, verse 8. 10, 14, 8. So this is a frequently verse that Prabhupada quotes a lot, you know, to keep us humble. No. You have to add the mic. Yeah. Here, Manoj, you have it? It's 10:14:8. You guys could remember that also, so it's a very important verse, 10:14:8. Yeah, it's also nice to learn the Sanskrit of these important verses that are frequently quoted. So even though we don't know Sanskrit, you know, it's nice when you do preaching where people actually, when my brother first went out preaching, he would go on book distribution a lot. And when his first days of preaching, he would do book distribution all the time. And so he would quote Sanskrit, you know, just simple verses like Dehino Asmin, Yata Dehe. And people was like, wow, you're a Sanskrit scholar? And so my brother didn't say anything, because that's good preaching, you know. That'd make him enthused, at least to have some enthusiasm about Krishna consciousness. So it doesn't matter. So these verses are nice to learn. So we should also, you know, even though we don't know Sanskrit, they're nice to learn. It's good for preaching, so. So can you say the verse, what it is? It's from Canto 10, chapter 14, verse 8. So make sure you say into the mic clearly and eloquently. Thank you.
My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim.
So yes, so we shouldn't you know, self-righteously think that we haven't done demoniac stuff in our previous lives or even in this life. So this brings to mind chapter 89. According to chapter 89 of the Christian book, it is essentially described that even if one is a predominantly good or virtuous person, however, various persons, places, things, or circumstances can make one do evil things. Just like Buddha said, there's a nice verse by Buddha. He says, "Let no man think lightly of evil, saying in his heart, it will not come upon me. Even by the falling of water drops, a water pot is filled. The fool becomes full of evil, even if he gathered little by little." So in this chapter 89 of the Christian book, this example is explicitly explained that even though Lord Shiva, he's predominantly, you know, a spiritualist, he's in fact described as like the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnava Nam Yata Shambhu. He's the greatest Vaishnava. But however, when Bhrigu Muni, his brother, insulted Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva wanted to kill him with his trident. So he ran up to him to kill him with his trident. So I'm not sure if you guys ever had that experience, you know, in life. Someone looks at you wrong or insults you, and then you think, "You lucky I'm a devotee, because you'll be dead right now," you know, for disrespecting me. I'm the greatest Vaishnava in all of creation. And Lord Chaitanya says, "You have to respect me, so I demand respect now." So we have that demoniac mentality, you know, even though we don't say it out loud, you know. Have you guys had that experience? No? Well, that's why we come to the material war, in case you, you know, don't know. We want to be God, so... So we want to be the greatest in everything. So we've all had that experience. So in case you're wondering, that mentality is offensive. So we shall always chant Hare Krishna in humility and, you know, tell the mind to shut up. That's what chanting Hare Krishna and saying shut up is the same thing. We're telling the mind, shut up, shut up, shut up every day. So it's the same thing. But you get more benefit when you chant Hare Krishna. And so in this chapter 89, this is a very important chapter. So Prabhupada, therefore, he says a nice quote. He says, "Therefore, that the greatness of a person has to be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations." Just like Lord Shiva was insulted, but he couldn't tolerate that provoking situation. So in essence, one's greatness is not measured by jama, aishra, shuta, shri, bir, dinam, janam, or sundaris, money, women, fame, beauty, knowledge, family, see, heritage. Rather, Prabhupada says one's greatness is measured by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. So this brings to mind a very nice example I told Jordan Prabhu recently that I heard Radhanath Maharaj say. Actually, it wasn't Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that he heard it from Anuttama Prabhu. Anuttama Prabhu is GBC, Prabhupada disciple. And so he gave one example of responsibility. You guys know this word, responsibility, right? I hope so. So he was explaining that the word responsibility can be explained in two words, response and ability. Response and ability. In other words, one's ability to respond to various circumstances can either lead to one's elevation or lead to one's degradation. So there's so many examples in this regard. You know, one of my favorite examples is Haridas Thakur. You know, just like the prostitute, you know, came to seduce him. So this is described in the Haridas Thakur passage. It's very funny, but it's not usually mentioned, but I'll mention it here because it's hilarious. You know, the scripture's obviously hilarious, you know. So anyways, essentially, this is from, you guys could look it up in case you haven't read the Haridas Thakur passage. It's from the Anshya Lila, the last session of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anshya Lila, chapter 3. The chapter title is The Glories of Haridas Thakur. So basically, essentially, it is described, paraphrase, the prostitute went up to Haridas Thakur, and she essentially said, "Haridas Thakur, Mr. Haridas, I hear saintly people are merciful to the fallen, so please be merciful to me by fulfilling my every desire." And so Haridas Thakur was probably thinking, Jitendra gave me a look like, "I'll get you afterward." This is described. This is not my words. Look it up. So this is bona fide. So essentially, Haridas Thakur was probably thinking, whatever mercy you're looking for, we don't stockpile that kind. That's not in our inventory. So suppose that was us. Suppose Maya Devi came up to us. Will you fulfill my every desire? What is our response? Heck yeah. Right away. Yes, ma'am. That's our response. So in other words, one's ability to respond to various circumstances can either lead to one's elevation or one's degradation. So and we can see that why is Haridas Thakur, why wasn't he tempted by the prostitute? Of course, you know, minus seeing the point that he was, you know, Lord Brahma, a demigod. So that probably counts for something. We're not, you know, demigods. But aside from that point, the point that Prabhupada mentions is that this is another very important verse. So hopefully you guys can remember it. So it's from Anshya Lila, passed on Haridas Thakur, Anshya Lila, the last section, chapter 3. Verse 213. So in Prabhupada's purport, he says, Haridas Thakur epitomized the foremost command of Vaishnavism, which is Trinadapi Suni Chena, Tador Iva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should respect all living beings with honor and dignity. And so we can see in the pastime of Haridas Thakur, that's what he did. So suppose a prostitute came up to Haridas Thakur. So she walks up to him, and Haridas Thakur asks her, so you're a prostitute? That's disgusting. Yuck. Don't touch me. I just washed my dhoti. Don't touch it. You know, I don't want to get contaminated. That's disgusting. And so we can see that, you know, like, we can't say modern Christians, but we can see that, you know, because every religion should be judged by the individual, but not by the institution, but we have to say, you know, a lot of Christians are known for, like, when we go downtown for Harinam during the Lollapalooza, there's usually a Christian group there, and they definitely, we're the main one they condemns, of course, obviously. So, you know, just judging people all the time. And we can see usually in the history of mankind that usually when someone's very judgmental and critical and very proud of their spiritual life is that the next week or the next day they fall down. Just like, suppose that was us, if we judged a prostitute, you know, she came up to us and said, you know, if we criticize her, like, you know, you're disgusting, you're going to hell, you're a prostitute, yuck. And then next week, suppose the prostitute proposes us again. Will you fulfill my every desire? Then our response would be, heck yeah, you don't have to ask me twice. We'll say that, so that'll be our response. So what happened? You know, I thought the previous week, you know, prostitutes were disgusting. What changed? What changed is that he was proud. That's what changed. And so from this pastime, we could just see that, you know, he may consider that, okay, you know, I'm not judgmental anymore, but I've evolved. Evolved into what? A pervert? That's what usually happens. You know, so the more we're judgmental people, and this pastime is very essential because Haridas Thakur didn't criticize the prostitute for being a prostitute. But we can see we often judge people for much less than that. So we can see the Sastras give so many extreme examples is that and it's very hilarious because we can't even, master the small test, the small examples. So just like, what's a point I wanted to mention? I can't remember. It was regarding Haridas Thakur pastime again. There's so many examples in this regard. But anyway, there's a nice verse how basically, essentially, the essence of this is that, you know, the more we're humble and gracious and respectful to everyone, then the more we could control our senses. There's a direct connection between respect and controlling the senses, obviously. You know, there's so many verses in the sastras where it says, basically, it's impossible to control the senses, but one controls the senses by respecting every living being. Just like Lord Krishna, he says, you know, he's the root of existence, but he says, even better than worship of me is worship my devotees. You know, there's so many verses in this regard. So what is to honor God means? It means to honor his devotees. So do you have that sheet? There's a very nice verse in the Holy Bible in this regard. I'm not sure if you guys remember the Nectar of Instruction. What is the first instruction of the Nectar of Instruction? No, not that one. So, do you remember the word Vacho Vegan? Do you know what Vacho means? Yeah, speech, the tongue. Exactly. So that's the first. So this this verse from the Holy Bible, you guys can look it up also. It's a very nice verse. It kind of is very enlightening as far as Vaishnava Parada is concerned. Basically, essentially, it states that there's a contradiction between honoring the Lord, the root of existence, and then offending everyone else for those who are created in the Lord's likeness. Just like a father, suppose someone comes up to like the president of the United States and they don't know who his children are. And they say, Hare Krishna, Mr. President, you know, I really admire your speeches. You're very eloquent, you know. And then some kid walks by, and then he says, get out the way, you stupid kid. I'm talking to the president right now. And so then the president says, excuse me, sir, that's my son. And then we're like, oh, my bad. Sorry, I didn't know. my fault. And so in much the same way, every single one of us are the children of God, especially devotees who have taken out the process of devotional service. So to make a distinction between real devotee and non-real devotee is very offensive. Because in the scriptures it's described that, you know, you can't tell a real devotee from a non-real devotee. This is actually a Sashrik injunctions. I'll mention this last point before Justin reads this point. So it's very, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, this is a very important verse. So there's three sessions in the Chaitanya Bhagavat you guys can write down. The last session is called the Sheshakan. And in that session is described the pastime Bhrigu Muni, where he insults Lord Shiva, kits Lord Vishnu, and ignores Lord Brahma, this pastime. And so Vrindavan Das Thakur, he makes many essential points in this regard. He essentially says that when we externally look at Bhrigu Muni, he looks like an offender, an aparadi. He, you know, he kits Lord Shiva, you know, he's the greatest. Suppose we come, you know, walk in a temple and, you know, punch one of the devotees. We'll probably be considered offender, right? Of course, that's not recommended, you know. So in this pastime, it is essentially described by Vrindavan Das Thakur that externally, Bhrigu Muni may appear to be an offender, but this whole pastime was orchestrated by the Lord to teach us certain principles. So he describes that, you know, the activities of an elevated Vaishnava may appear to resemble the activities of lowly materialistic peoples. And so when one commits Vaishnava aparadha, he's destroyed. So what is his conclusion? Vrindavan Das Thakur says the conclusion is that regardless of whether one is a, you know, so-called real devotee or a so-called non-real devotee, his conclusion is that one shall humbly, he says, humbly glorify every Vaishnava. This is the safe route. Just like, for example, this world is compared to an ocean. Just like an ocean, considered like an ocean of offenses, and we're treading the waters. So what are we treading in? We're treading in between distinguishing between real devotees and non-devotees. So what's our safety jacket? You know, how long can we tread? Suppose, how long can you tread in water before you drown? You're swimming, but how long can you tread before you drown in the water? You'll be finished. You can't do it very long. So what's the safety jacket? You have to put on your safety jacket. And what is that safety jacket? Orva bahu kadi kohan shunya sarvalo namasute ganti pada kante eshlo trinada pisuni chena tador iva sahishinuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. That's our safety jacket. You're always safe if you wear your safety jacket. You'll never be drowned. So we may not be rescued on a boat of love of God, but at least we won't be drowned in the ocean of offenses. So we always have to keep these principles in mind all the time. Always take the safe route, you know. Yeah, you could take the other option, you know, you want to distinguish, but, you know, you Krishna, but that's the thing. Vaishnavas are so merciful. They never take offenses. But the thing is that we may not be taken away from the association of devotees, you know, or we may not get some big karmic reaction. But what is one of the worst reactions? It's to be bored in Krishna consciousness, to not have no taste, to be bored, you know, always chanting arounds, no happiness. You're associated with devotees. You know, it's to describe that one of the offenses, I don't know where this is said, but I've heard over the years many devotees mention it. One of the offenses is that to be, you know, in the presence of Vaishnava, to not be happy in the presence of devotees is considered an offense. So we're probably making offenses 24 hours a day. You know, and so we may consider the mind to tell us, you know, the reason I'm not happy is because you're not a Vaishnava. You know, we'll probably say that. That's why how the mind justifies it. And so this verse from the Bible is a very nice verse, so maybe Justin could read it in this regard.
Oh,
Yeah, it's only take a brief second, so. You could read it that far down?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, you got good eye. Like, okay. Hawkeyes, anyways. Here we go.
This is
can you explain where it's from?
This is from the Holy Bible.
Well,
James 3:7-18.
3.7 through 18.
Through 18.
Cool. All right, cool. Thank you. So read it clear and eloquently. All right, this is very important. No talking, Michael. Hare Krishna. No, I'm just kidding. Well, no. Listen up. I'm sorry.
All kinds of...
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It's a good one.
Yeah. We don't want to ruin the flow.
With the tongue, we praise the Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such so-called wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap the harvest of righteousness.
Thank you for reading. Isn't that nice? All right, good. All right. I did a little bit too, but anyways, you guys can look it up afterwards, so I kind of got distracted too, but that's okay. No reading again. No, that's okay. So the conclusion is that the more we don't watch our fences, then the more we won't be able to respond. In essence, the way we respond to various circumstances will ultimately lead to our degradation the more we don't watch our fences. And always keep these principles in mind, guard the thoughts. In Bhagavatam, in this chapter 7, 8, 9, Prahlada says, except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy. So if we don't guard our thoughts, then, we're going to be messed up. And messed up, like I said, doesn't mean we'll be taken out. We shouldn't, because we should all be merciful to others. Messed up doesn't mean you're going to be taken out of the association of devotees, God forbid, we shouldn't pray for anyone to be taken out of the association of devotees, because it's very miserable in the material world. There's no happiness whatsoever. But ultimately, we have to learn our lesson. Krishna give us so many examples to learn our lessons. If we don't pay attention to them, then, the more and more, we'll become dissatisfied and go, what will we go after? Sense gratification. Like I said, the senses are very powerful. It's impossible to control the senses unless Krishna gives us his power. His name is Hrishikesha, the master of the senses. Just like in Gita, Krishna says, Yatatohi api kontaya purushaisha vipashchitaha indriyani pramatini hananti prasabham manaha. Krishna says, the senses are so strong and impetuous, O Arjuna, that they're prasabham. They force someone to do sense gratification. You guys ever had that experience? Am I the only one? I think I'm the only sinner in here. But anyways, you guys are all saints. But anyways, the whole point, the essence is, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, like, for example, the senses are compared to horses. You guys know that picture in the Gita where the senses are, running one all over the universe, trying to gratify one's senses, like, all the way up to the heavenly planets, hellish planets, earthly planets, it bypasses the spiritual world. We're not allowed in the spiritual world. So the senses are compared to wild Mustang horses. Just like there's a very popular saying in society. And what is that? Hold your horses. I'm sure you guys all heard of that, right? Hold your horses. What does that mean? Control your senses. So Krishna gave us these phrases throughout our life to remind us, you know, unless we control our senses, then we'll, you know, become demons. So essentially in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is essentially described that it is not possible to hold your horses unless you continually take Bhakti Sastri humility courses. I made that up. I wrote that down. So that was a rhyme. So thank you. I think Terrence clapped. So he's a writer too. So so it is not possible. So what is the verse? Orva Bahu Kari Kohan Shunya Sarvalo Namasute Ganti Pada Kante Eshlo. One should always remember this. And so the more we be accustomed to not keeping this in mind, then the way we respond to circumstances will ultimately lead to our degradation. So I'll bring up a few other points before I end class. Some other funny points. I hope you guys laugh. You know, I really worked hard on my comedy routine. So so if you don't laugh, you know, I'll have to die. Anyway, so there's a nice verse in this regard. This is a very important verse, too. Can you guys pull it up on your phone, Manoj? It's from Canto 4:26-8. Can you read that for us, please? Can someone give him the mic? Jordan, it's right to your right.
What is this? This is Canto 4, Chapter 26, Verse 8. Otherwise, a person who acts whimsically falls down due to false prestige. Thus, he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of his real intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. Thus, he goes up and down, from a microbe and stool to a high position in the Brahmaloka planet.
See, in this verse, Prabhupada mentioned, it's mentioned that one falls down due to a false prestige. And so then the example I like in this verse is that Prabhupada, for the multi-material nature, Prabhupada uses the word laws of nature. Now, the reason I appreciate this verse, the way Prabhupada says the laws of nature, is because if we think about it, for example, the laws of nature. What are the laws of nature? It is the law that if someone insults me, I become mad. It is the law. Of course, you guys are all saints here, but, you know, for us sinners, it is the law that if someone says something lusty to us, we messed up. It's the law. And so many things we could think. If it's the law that if someone, like, threatens us, I'm not sure if you guys have been bullied when you've grown up, but some bully will walk by and say, I'm going to get you after school. And so all day long, I'm sure everyone's had this experience, all day long we're in fear. We're like, oh, God help me. That increases our devotion. So we shouldn't necessarily, you know, suffering is good because it increases our devotion, but... So the whole point is that, you know, we're controlled by the laws of nature. And how does one become free from this laws of nature? Actually, it's not possible. We only have to beg for the mercy of the Lord, Hrishikesha, the master of the senses. And the medium to receive that mercy is to be humble like a blade of grass and mortal and always be respectful and honor every living being, you know, as sacred parts of God. Just like when devotees bring back, you know, Jagannath Prasadam, or the deities, we're very careful not to offend them. Why? Because they're very sacred, right? Parts of God, you know, they're connected with his pastimes. In much the same way, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Kavi Hastini, we're all connected to Christian pastimes. Why? Because we're all parts and parcels of God. We're all sacred parts of God. So if we keep these things in mind, that every living being is a sacred part of God, then you'll be very careful to, you know, offend him. You know, so we should always keep these things in mind, you know, but the only reason we're so respectful to Jagannath Prasadam or the deities or whatever is because they don't talk back to us. That's the only reason. If they taught bat cells, we'd be creating maha offenses. What did you say? And then our demise in Krishna consciousness is inevitable. So we're lucky they don't talk bat to us. We're very lucky. Jagannath put the sign like, you idiot. So anyway, so we're very fortunate. So we always have to keep these things in mind, that we're all sacred parts of God. We're all connected to the Lord's pastimes. And so the last few points is that I wanted to mention is that in regards to this laws of nature, how we're being controlled by the laws of nature, is that some people may think, you know, the word duplicity is, what does that mean? Like two personalities, you know, you two-faced. You guys heard of this word, two-faced, right? And so my argument is that actually every single one of us, we have way more than two faces. We have, what do we have? We have our proud personality, our angry personality, our fearful personality, and our favorite, our lusty personality. Here's a PG-13 version of our lusty personality. Hey, mami, mira, que pasa, mi casa es su casa. So that's a PG. So we have multiple personalities. And, you know, there's a nice, I think Terrence brought up this point. It's funny. He says sometimes, listen to this. This is a very important part. He says sometimes our humble and gracious personality makes a cameo or a guest starring appearance, usually during the season finale at the time of death. Then we realized that, oh, maybe I should have broadcasted, you know, my humble and gracious personality a little bit more. So we have multiple, we're not duplicitous, we're multiplicitous. We have multiple personalities. So how can we, you know, we're schizos. This material world, we're schizophrenics. So circumstances can make us schizophrenic, obviously. So we should always keep these in mind, you know. We want to display our humble personality as much as possible. We'll be safe, you know. We'll be in a safe zone. And so basically the conclusion is, to the degree we're humble, then to that degree our peace and tranquility can be measured. On the other hand, to the degree we're proud, then to that degree our anger and rage can be measured. So therefore, this is a very important verse too. In chapter 2, verse 70 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apara pravishanti yavat tavat kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shanti mamnoti nakamakami. So this is a very nice verse. I'm not going to have you look it up, but essentially, you guys can look it up. It's chapter 2, verse 70. So essentially it's described that, I'll say verbatim, it essentially says, a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled, but is ever still, can alone achieve peace, shanti, and not he who strives to satisfy such desires. So you guys may have not understood that because I kind of said it fast, but basically it is described, I know Jordan was like, affirmative. So I'll kind of explain it in layman's terms, the way I understood it, that's kind of, it's a nice understanding. Like, just like you guys heard the word deep, and shallow. What does deep mean? Deep usually means one who is spiritual, right? And shallow means one who is spiritual. So in this verse, it's described that, thank you. Deep is spiritual, shallow is material. So we've heard that word, like valley girls, you're so shallow. Oh my God, you're shallow. That means you're materialistic. And somebody says, man, that was deep. That means it was spiritual. So in this verse of chapter 2, verse 70 of the Bhagavad Gita, it is compared that, like, rivers are 24 hours a day. Rivers are pouring into the ocean. 24 hours a day. Isn't that mystical? Rivers are constantly pouring into the ocean, but the ocean never overfloods. That's mystical, isn't it? Rivers are constantly, in much the same way, it is essentially described that for those whose spirituality is as deep as the ocean, that no matter how many desires, like the desire for honor, suppose like the rivers of offenses are coming to one, like suppose like Haridasa Thakur, he was offended, you know, physically, verbally, and mentally. So many rivers of offenses were coming into his consciousness and physically, but he would remain like the ocean, steady, undisturbed. So by contrast, if we think about what's shallow in this comparison, what's shallow is like a small lake or pond, right? So if we think about it, that some small, you know, rain, some small storm could overflood a small pond or lake, right? So if we could look at these analogies, despite you know, rivers are pouring into the ocean 24 hours a day. The ocean never overfloods. But if only, you know, one, you know, rainstorm pours into a small lake or pond, it overfloods a small town or city. Naturally, in much the same way, those whose spirituality is as deep as the oceans are undisturbed by, you know, whatever offenses or honor, dishonor, you know, happiness, distress, whatever may come into the conscience, they remain steady and undisturbed. But even from for those whose spirituality is as shallow as a lake, then even upon a slight provocation, you know, they start yelling, you know, and starts making so many offenses. So we could see these examples are essentially, you know, described in the pastimes of the great saints, is that their spirituality is always as deep as the ocean. Why? Because they remain humble and grateful all the time. You know, Trinada Pisuni Shena. So that's the essence of why their spirituality is deep as the ocean, is because they're humble. And so the last few points I want to make in this regard before I end class is, it's some hilarious points I brought up last time. They're hilarious. And so, for example, it's basically described in the Gita that essentially you guys know that we have a demoniac nature, our devil on one shoulder, and an angel on one shoulder. You guys seen that probably in comics or TV or whatever, I'm sure, right? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah, there's a one show I used to watch me and my brother grow up. My brother will always, like, you see my brother speaking very eloquently in class and stuff, and that's very, I love that. But my brother always comes down to earth. When he does the college programs, he's not all like puffed up and start speaking, you know, eloquent stuff to the students, because he know that won't resonate with them. He gives examples like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, something that they could relate to. And my brother would bring up, that's the basis of his Krishna consciousness at university programs, is that the TV shows we used to watch, there's a lot of wisdom in Fresh Prince. I wouldn't recommend watching it now, you know. But from what we remember, there's a lot of wisdom. And so one example described in this show is that there was a devil on one shoulder, you know, encouraging Will Smith, the character of the show, to do some sinful activities, of course. And then there was another personality appeared on his shoulder. It was another devil reinforcing his sinful activity. Definitely do it. Two devils. No angel. No good nature whatsoever. So that's one. That's kind of like us. That's us. So in this regard, I would like to mention my last points in this regard. So we have actually three angels on one shoulder. Just think about it. Three angels on one shoulder. And what are those angels? They're our Chaita Guru, the Lord in the heart, our Shiksha Guru, which could be any devotee, and our Diksha Guru, our initiating guru. So there's actually three angels on one shoulder telling us to do the right thing. And then we have another guru on our shoulder. What is our mind or Maya? We have another guru. So I like to do some, you know, compare and contrast, some funny, you know, stuff, and kind of like to end with this. I brought some of them up the other day, but. So, for example, on three sides, our angelic side says, if you don't have anything good to say, then don't say anything at all. And what does our bad nature say? If you don't have anything bad to say, then don't say anything at all. You better keep your mouth shut. And so one other example is that, of course, I gave this example the other day. Our angelic nature says, it is better to give than to receive. And our bad nature would say, it is better to receive and take than to give. So let's see what the other example is. All right, cool. There's one example I heard one Christian preacher say. It was a nice example. He says, do we ask ourselves every day, have I gone out of my way to honor someone, compliment someone, or make someone feel good about their day? And what does our bad nature say? Have I gone out of my way to dishonor someone, insult someone, or make someone feel like a piece of crap? That's what our demoniac, you know, nature says. So the other last example I'd like to give in this regard, it requires a little bit more elaboration. So, for example, you guys all know Lord Chaitanya's verse, one's disposition should be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and ready to offer all respect to others without expecting respect in return. In such a state of mind, one can glorify the Lord constantly. So you guys know that, right? Everyone? Oh, thank God. After this whole class, I hope you guys heard, you know, that one point. So that's what Lord Chaitanya's verse says. So there's another our bad nature to say something else, but I'll have to give a little elaboration on this point before I say it. So you guys, like Bhaktisiddhanta, he's known as the lion guru. So sometimes a lion is considered, good, courageous. But there's also some negative qualities ascribed to a lion. For example, so the lion, they're considered what? The king of the jungle, right? They're puffed up, right? The king of the jungle. But they're humbled when they get trapped in a zoo. They'll say, you're actually not a king. You're like, a tiny animal. You're a mere small house cat. You're not the king. So they're even humbled. So in much the same way, like the lions are known as king of the jungle. For example, a group of birds are known as the flock, and a group of, let's say, horses are known as the herd, right? And so I'm not sure if you know that a group of lions are known as the pride. Are you guys aware of that? The group of lions are known, that's hilarious, right? So they're the king of the jungle, and they're known as the pride. So there's obviously reason for that. And so that's one example I'll use in this bad nature verse. And so then another example is that wit insect is kind of the least tolerant. Well, I'm thinking of a bee, just like a bee. You go try to mess with a bee, they're probably the most intolerant. Aside from a fly, they're one of the most intolerant insects, because why? They're always going like bzzz. You develop some humility, some tolerance. So they're probably considered intolerant bees. So now I'll say Lord Chaitanya's verse from our bad nature, okay? So you guys got that set. So here's Lord Chaitanya's verse in a reverse way, according to our bad nature. One's disposition should be more prouder than a lion, more intolerant than a bee, and ready to offer all disrespect to others while always expecting respect in return. In such a state of mind, one can engage in bickering and sense gratification perpetually. So that's what our mind says. So I would like to conclude with this statement. I haven't memorized it since, so there's a nice verse. So my concluding statement before, I probably won't take any questions because it's already gone long. So my concluding statement, so I thank you for you guys' patience. I won't be giving any lies probably anytime soon. So I tried to do my best, and I'm glad you guys were very attentive. So my concluding statement is, the more we're accustomed to taking directions from our mind instead of taking direction from Lord Chaitanya's teaching on humility, then the more we should become accustomed to responding to various circumstances that will ultimately lead to our degradation. And so, okay, I lied. One last quote. I don't know who this came from, but this is a nice quote. I wrote it down, but I didn't have time to see the author. So this author says, quote, most barriers to your success are man-made, and most often, you're the man who made them. Jai. All right, thank you very much. Thank you guys for your... Oh, okay, I'll read it again. Thank you. All right, to be continued. we thought it was over. It's not. Listen up. Most barriers to your success are man-made, and most often, you're the man who made them. You hear it that time? All right, good. All right, cool. All right, cool. Thank you, everyone. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go to Prima Nandi. Hari Hari Bo. Jai.